I'd like to take you back to John's Gospel, John chapter 1 and verse 11. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to be children of God, to those that believe on his name, who have been born not of blood, nor of flesh's will, nor of man's will, but of God. And we'll just read the next verse, because it's so beautiful. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we have contemplated his glory, a glory as of an only begotten, with a Father, full of grace and truth. And then in the same chapter, verse 20, speaking of John the Baptist, on the morrow he sees Jesus coming to him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." And then just in the end of chapter 4, but verse 39, "But many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him because of the word of the woman who bore witness. He told me all things that I had ever done. When therefore the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to abide with them, and he abode there 2 days. And more, a great deal believed on account of his word. And they said to the woman, 'It is no longer on account of thy saying that we believe, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Saviour of the world.'" We started the beginning of the occasion this morning, both our hymn and the opening thanksgiving drew our attention to that great travity of justice, when the Lord himself, the Lord of glory, became man and came here to this earth. And what did men give him? They gave him the crown of thorns. They sent him to the cross. In every circumstance of ignominy they could heap upon him. And you know, the character of this world is still the same. There are many parts of the world where opposition to the name of Jesus is very open, very flagrant, and often very violent. In this country, we have been preserved from much of that, but we find that that opposition is still there. That if we speak of Jesus, there are those who simply do not want to know about his name. And this world system is rapidly removing all traces of the heritage which it has had from Christianity, and through right things, right principles, handed down. And it is doing it because it doesn't want Jesus. It wants to go its own way. And that's, we don't need to dwell on that, but he came to his own. The note says, "Of what was his own?" and refers to persons. He came to Israel, who had all those hundreds of years of prophecy, some of which spoke so explicitly of what a man the Saviour was going to be when he came. They had no excuse, but they cast him out because they were jealous. They were only interested in carrying on their own system. They had no place for the Son of God, and his own received him not. But as many as received him. John frequently gives us these contrasts. Those, we're told later on, I didn't read the scripture, but it's very well known to us, John chapter 3, 16, that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him may not perish. How wonderful, again, the contrast. Those that reject the Saviour will, sadly, perish. But those that believe on him, those that receive him, will know what it is to be brought into the blessing. You may ask, well, what does receiving him mean? Well, it means many things, of course. It means receiving him into our lives, if we're a householder. It means receiving him into our house. But above all, it means receiving him into our hearts. It means giving Jesus the place in our hearts which he deserves. We all have a place in his heart, you know. He loves us all. Whether we've come to him, whether we're still spurning him, whether we're turning our back on him, Jesus loves us, and we have a place in his affections. But how much more wonderful to come and give him the place which he deserves, to receive him. And we need to do that before we can enter into the blessings of which we've read. But we need to do it anyway. The reason, I suppose the first reason why you and I need to receive Jesus is because we need him. We are all sinners. We have all come under the judgment of sin, and without the work of the Lord Jesus on our behalf, we would all know what it would be to face a lost eternity. But that's not what God had in mind for man in creating man. God had in mind that man might be made suited for his pleasure to dwell in his presence. And he has done it through the work of the glad tidings, through the work that the Lord Jesus accomplished at the cross. And you and I, as sinners, don't deserve anything but judgment. But in God's grace, he is wanting to bless us. Again, We're told that those who believe in him shall receive, not perish, but receive life eternal. What a wonderful thing is being offered. But it was necessary that Jesus should go that way first of all, because as we said, we can do nothing about our sins. He was the holy and righteous one and was offered as the offering in place of us. I often repeat it, I've probably said it, quoted it in this room. It's that wonderful scripture in Isaiah. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. That means we've turned away from God. We've done what's natural and what's pleasing to us. And Jehovah has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's what happened when Jesus went to the cross, dear friend. The one who was the saviour of the world had to save the world by giving up himself. He gave up everything. He laid aside his glory to stoop here as a man. And then when he was here, he carried out a life of complete obedience to his Father and a life of humility before men. And yet that itself was not sufficient. It was necessary that Jesus, if he was to become the Saviour of the world, the one, he should be the Lamb of God. The people, of course, to whom John was speaking knew all about the sacrifice system of sacrifices that had been given. They understood of the lamb. The lamb was the very first sacrifice, the sacrifice that was offered when they were to be set free from Egypt. And then there was the whole system that came after it. But Jesus was the Lamb of God. He was the perfect sacrifice. And by going that way, going to the cross, and there on the cross, bearing the judgment of God on your sins and my sins, bearing the judgment for the whole question of sin, all laid upon him, God is able righteously to forgive us because the penalty has been paid. God couldn't overlook sin. God, the scripture says he couldn't pass the sin, the hymn says, couldn't pass the sinner by. But God has found a way to forgive sinners. And that's a wonderful thing. We're all sinners. We all start off as sinners. But God has come in that we might be saved. Saved through grace. Again, I may have mentioned it, but where I used to live in Wootton Bassett, there was a tombstone which had on it just simply the name of the person and a sinner saved by grace. Well, we're all sinners, but what a difference those last three words made, saved by grace. And dear friend, are you there? Can you say that? That you know through the grace of God that you have been saved, that Jesus has borne your sins, and because he's borne them, the whole question has been settled. It's not that there'll be bits left over for you to face. If you put your trust in Jesus, every sin that you have committed is covered. Mm-hmm. And you will know what it is when he comes for his own to stand before him without condemnation. Those who don't, those who reject him, will know the full condemnation. They'll have to stand before him as the judge. But the work of Jesus is sufficient to atone for every sin you and I can't count. We started sinning probably long before our memory remembers. But God knew of them all. And they were all laid on Jesus. And if we put our trust in him and his precious shed blood, the fact that his life was given as a sacrifice, the Lamb of God, then everything is cleared away without question. And we can know what it is to come into the blessings in the second part of the first scripture I read. We're given the right to be children of God. You know, there's an awful lot said in this world about rights. But rights are, in man's eyes, are what he's prepared to give you. The rights of God are irrevocable. He has set out what he is prepared to do. If you're prepared to receive Jesus, if you're prepared to put your trust in him, then you'll know what it is to be children of God. The note explains that means being born into the family. And we'll be brought in with all the countless myriads that will be brought in when the time comes, when the Lord comes for his own, and when he raises all those in the tombs. And those that are here alive at the time in that one vast company, they will all be there. And there will be that about them which will be characteristic of the family, because they've come under the precious imprint of the Saviour's hand. Well, dear friend, that is the opportunity for you to come to know what it is. We need to come to him. It's a desperate need to have the question of our sins resolved, that we might not have to face the judgment. But how wonderful, too, to come and find this blessed man. John, of course, knew him perhaps better than anybody that was here, the writer of this gospel. And he was one of those three that was privileged to see the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. They, all the disciples, knew that. Many, many souls recognized that. But We have contemplated his glory as of an only begotten with a Father, full of grace and truth. It was that shining out on the mount that was something they'd never seen before. The glory of who the Lord Jesus was in his person, but the glory too of his relationship with the Father, the one who was obedient in every footstep, the one who came here in obedience, but the one who was the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's just wonderful that one who is so glorious, one that is so mighty, he's been given a name which is above every name. The scripture tells us that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, even the infernal beings that will do so reluctantly, they will be compelled to do so. But how many countless myriads will be glad to do so? How many, in fact, are already glad to do so in our lives now, to acknowledge who Jesus is? We were reading this afternoon of the blind man. And before the Lord fully revealed himself, he came to the recognition that Jesus was Lord. And dear friend, have you and I come to the recognition that Jesus is Lord? It's wonderful to know him as the Saviour, because that is an essential first step. But how wonderful to realise that the Son of God, this glorious person, is your Lord and mine. And if we do accept him as the Saviour, then we will see that glory too. I said it was unique, the revelation that was given to Peter, James and John when he was here. But it's a revelation that will be given to everybody who trusts in him, everybody who loves Jesus. When he comes, we shall see him face to face, and then we shall see that glory. And so it just brings it home. Again, I read of the Samaritans. They were persons like ourselves. They weren't Jews. They hadn't got any right to anything. But these Samaritans were brought into blessing. I didn't read it, but I suppose it was one of the shortest and most effective preachings we have recorded. Come see a man who told me all things I had ever done. Is not he the Christ? Well, she may well have said other things too, but I doubt if it was a lengthy preaching. But what a result. They came out of the city and went to him, and after they'd met him himself, it is no longer an account of thy saying we believe, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Saviour of the world. So it's very profitable. It's a good thing to come to a preaching, to hear other people speak about Jesus, but the ultimate blessing is to come to Jesus yourself. Come to Jesus in his person. If you haven't yet asked him for the forgiveness of your sins, come to him and ask in repentance, ask for forgiveness, but come into the presence of Jesus himself, and then you will know indeed. That's what I like about this. It was obviously an emphatic knowledge. It wasn't just something they thought perhaps. We know that this is indeed the Saviour of the world. Well, dear friend, if you come to Jesus, you can know what it is to know indeed that he's your Saviour and mine. And then you'll be counted amongst that number, children of God, those who are brought into blessing, those whose portion is to be with him in eternity. Well, may it be so for his name's sake. Amen. Can we sing hymn number 500? Now in simple faith, Lord Jesus, I behold thy blessed face, and thy changeless loving favour gives me certain peace, satisfies my deepest longings, meets the need of every hour, all my fears dispels forever by thy wondrous power. Who can tell the wondrous measure of the love upon me poured, and my certainty of promise is thyself, O Lord. May we sing the whole hymn, number 500.
Now in simple faith, Lord Jesus.